Hallelujah. Yeah, last night we were watching Last Man Standing. It's a funny show. But this guy's just a little bit right-leaning, praise the Lord. He leans right. And he was supposed to give a speech at his daughter's school, but they gave him the list of things that he couldn't say and why he couldn't say them. And he said, I can't say that, because it's absolutely opposed to anything and everything that I stand for. Anyway, one of the things that he was explaining to his daughter, and it was a real good thing. He said, you know, we get so worried about the person that we might offend, and we forget about the person that we might inspire. You know, the Word of God inspires us unto greatness, and we have within us the Spirit of God to inspire others to His goodness. Amen? So, Father, inspire us today. Fire us today. Not fire us and kick us out, but fire us up today. Lord, that we might be that voice crying in the wilderness. That we might be that help and that hope to the hopeless. That we might be that completely loving person, giving person that Christ in us is. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as I was praying and praying for a while, and then I thought about my praying for a while, and I was praying in the Spirit, but I was thinking in my mind. And I said, wait a minute. Praying in the Spirit is not a release from focusing on God. Just because the Holy Spirit knows what He's praying, I've got to remind myself, hey, wait a minute, get your focus back where it belongs. Get your focus on God. Now, I tell you that it takes an effort on everybody's part to stay focused on God. But if we have understanding, if we have an awareness of when God is absent, it will immediately run us back to Him. And that's not just in prayer, that's just in life. That we're aware when God is not... it isn't that God leaves, but it's that God... We leave His presence. We leave our thoughts on Him. Whenever we get very distant from Him, you know, we lose Him. You know, we should be with God the way we are about our cell phones. The moment that our cell phone is not handy, we're looking for, where's my phone? Where did I leave my phone? Now, that's not everybody that's that way, but anybody that uses them much, you remember your phone. You know, I oftentimes have my phone, and it's hooked up to my car, and it's sitting there, and so I'm using it there, and then I get up, and I get out, and a couple of times I've gotten up and gotten out of the car, left the phone, locked in the car, got into Walmart, and where's my list? Vicki sent me a list. Ah, left my phone in the car. Well, I can't call her to get the list again. I'm not about to try to just remember everything. So where do I go? Back to my car. Back to the Lord. When our thinking strays, when our attention strays, when our attitude strays, where should we go? Back to the Lord. See, we know these things. We bear these treasures in earthen vessels. We know these things, but you know, we come here to remind one another of these things. We see one another to remind one another of these things. We speak to the Lord to be reminded of these things. And just the thought of 2 minutes came to my mind. You know, you spend 2 minutes thinking about something. That's a long time. It is. Do you know you can pray the Lord's Prayer and not just rush through it in less than 60 seconds? You can actually pray the Lord's Prayer and give it a little bit of thought in less than 60 seconds. 2 minutes praying about any one thing is like a focused opportunity. At least it seems like it to us. But you see, here's the thing. When we think about something for 2 minutes, a lot can can happen. Close down our minds and just think about it for 2 minutes. Just thinking, 2 minutes thinking about God. Just thinking, focusing. Then comes those things, those scriptures that said, you know, do everything to live as he lived. So we open up and that word comes to us. You know, I've said that I read, I think it's Psalm 63 now that I see, but Psalm 63 says, you satisfy me more than anything. And I've read Psalm 63, you know, a lot of times, because I've read the Psalms a lot of times. For years, I read the Psalms 12 times a year, plus some. Because you read 1, 31, 16, you know. And so I've read that many times. And on my motorcycle, when you satisfy me, when that came up, I wasn't thinking about a scripture. I was just thinking it's a fact. He satisfies me. And then when I see it in the scripture, I realize the Bible is so true. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Those things are in our hearts. And then we have to clear the clutter. And if we clear the clutter, just 2 minutes. Joshua was infamous when he was little. 2 minutes. I don't know where he came up with 2 minutes, but 2 minutes. It's like, and it wasn't him saying, Dad, give me 2 minutes. It was just wait 2 minutes. You know? It was like, let's do this. 2 minutes, Dad. He never had too often to come to me and say, Dad, just give me 2 minutes. That doesn't mean that I always had all those minutes. It doesn't mean that I never had those times. Say, just a minute, just a minute. Just a minute turned into 2 hours, you know. But that 2 minutes, 2 minutes of refocusing. 2 minutes doesn't sound like much until you think about 2 minutes. So if you say to somebody, do you have 2 minutes? And they say, yeah. What can you share in 2 minutes? When Sandy Bauer's funeral was coming up, Kent said that Joel had slotted me 7 minutes to talk about the goodness of God. I want you just to talk about the goodness of God, brother. I thought, 7 minutes? How in the world are you going to talk about the goodness of God for only 7 minutes? But you know, you can put a lot in 7 minutes. So it's not a giant time frame. That 2 minutes can be life-changing. 2 minutes can be life-changing for 2 minutes. You know, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you just stop for 2 minutes. You pull over for 2 minutes and miss an accident. Or you don't get going. You get going 2 minutes late and you're driving down the road and a deer runs out behind you where it would have been in front of you, waiting for you. You know, these things, you know, the thing is thinking about these things and imagining that goodness of God. People need the Lord. And more than ever, they need an opportunity. Because you see, we have gone from, well, just keep God private, to don't keep God at all. Because now, if you love God and you stand for what God believes, now you are a hater. And you are a bigot. And you are a homophobe, and you are all of the phobes that they've got. You're all of those bad things. You're a Christian. As a Christian, you're all of those things. You believe the Bible, you are the worst of the worst of the worst. How in the world did we get to that? I think that we got to that because we wouldn't take 2 minutes to stand for what's right. That we were lulled into believing by the enemy that, well, they can think what they want. They can, but now they're not just thinking what they want, they're doing what they want. And they somehow have managed to convince everybody that they're right and that those who believe in God are wrong. Well, folks, here's the deal. The people who believe in God are the ones that are going to spend eternity with God. So, I won't be quiet about that. And I don't believe you will either. Jesus offended everybody from the time that he was born. He was an offense in the womb, you know. He was an illegitimate child. Mary had the opportunity for him to be an offense to her, to be upset about the circumstances that she was in. And Joseph had an opportunity to be offended. And the whole time she was pregnant, she was an offense. And she went off to see Martha just to get away from it all. And the baby was born. And he was an offense to a king before he was born. He was an offense to everyone. But to the angels, he was good news. Who do you think was more content, more at peace? The people who believed or the people who were trying to destroy him? These people that don't want Jesus mentioned, they're not happy campers. There's nothing happy about them. Nothing. You watch them. They will call people who believe the Bible haters, and they'll just have the little demon eyes coming out, just venom flowing out of their mouths that you would dare to think that there's a better way. We're on a way to destruction, and don't stop us. I'd like them just to take 2 minutes to think about that. They can't stop talking. They can't stop arguing against the truth, because if they stop arguing against the truth, they might hear the truth. But every now and then, something happens. It only takes a moment. And we need to start with the 2 minutes. We need to consider for 2 minutes what God can do in a circumstance. Just think, if when your mind and your frustrations are rising, and you, how many things can you think of that are going to go wrong in a very short period of time? You can in way less than 2 minutes, you can come up with enough to ruin your whole day. You can come up with something just to chew on for the whole day long that just ends up eating up your insides. What if you stop that and you just think real hard about what God could do in 2 minutes? How God changed things. In the beginning, the world was out form and void, and God said, "Let there be light." And in a moment, he changed things. The darkness was gone. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. Old hymns, I remember from singing them in church, never knew a thing about what they meant. But now I listen and I think, yeah. And God's great kingdom will come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. That's what that was about. 2 minutes to think about it. It only took about 15 seconds. And if we then can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, now we've got a renewed mind to transform others. I have been wrong. I've got a new response now. I've been wrong when people say, "Well, what do you know today?" And I say, "Oh, more than you got time to listen to." If not, I think I'll just say, "You got 2 minutes?" Now see, it doesn't sound to them like I'm going to give them so much. 2 minutes isn't much, but I'm telling you, in 2 minutes, you can change a life. Two minutes. The offense of Jesus, if they'd have thought about why they were so offended by Jesus, they wouldn't have been able to figure out why they were offended by Jesus. What's offensive about a little baby? What's offensive about good news unto all people? What's offensive about that? Who was most offended by Jesus? Religious people. Religious people were tremendously offended by Jesus, who was the answer to all of their religion. How did that happen? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to put into people's minds that because you believe the Bible, you hate everything different. No. You like everything good. Years ago, a guy that I used to work with, and he owned a bar in Aberdeen and a bar in Fort Pierre. And he would travel through, and he would call me from the D&K outpost to talk to me, because he heard about me. And we sat down to talk, and the conversation hadn't really become a conversation. And he said, "Now, Roger, you drank yourself." I did. I drank a lot. "So there's really nothing wrong with it, is there, Roger?" I said, "No, but tell me something good that comes from it." He was real quiet. I said, "How's your marriage?" "It was shot." "How's your liver?" "It was shot." Nothing but disruption and problems had happened in his life. And, well, that was sort of the end of that conversation. He just got quiet and he had to go, and I went back home. He came through again and he would call me. And the conversation never really changed a whole bunch. Except for we didn't spend as much time talking about what was right with it, but there was more talking about how much better life was with Jesus. Now, I don't know that he ever changed his thinking about that, but he had an opportunity to be in the presence of God, not me, but the presence of God on numerous occasions to experience the peace that might cause him to just say, you know, and I believe God will answer prayers like, if you, in desperation, they cry out and say, I'd like to feel from you, God, what Roger feels. I believe he would answer that. It doesn't have anything to do with Roger. It has to do with, I don't know how to get that. Last night, I was taking walks down memory lane yesterday on YouTube. I saw this thing, and I was looking for a Kris Kristofferson song, and then I saw this one that said, "Kris Kristofferson on Why Me, told about Why Me, Lord, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known?" So they had him on there, and he was going to sing that song, and they asked him about it, and he explained how he had been with some people, and they'd done a show, and then they took him to church. And he said, "Nah, I don't go to church much." And he said, the guy got done speaking, and he said, I don't even know what they said. I just know that they were going to pray." And he said, "If you're ready to receive Jesus, raise your hand." He said, again, he said, "Now, I told you, I don't go to church much, and raising my hand was something that just wasn't going to happen." And I felt my hand go up. And he said, then he said, "Now, if you raised your hand and you're ready to have Jesus come into your life, come down front." He said, "There ain't no way that I was going down front." But I got up and I was walking down front with all these other people. And then he said, "I don't know what the guy prayed, but," he said, "I was weeping and sobbing. And something happened. I had a very profound experience with God." And that was where the song came from. Now, I didn't really know that story. I just knew that I had a bunch of friends that we used to listen to all of Kris Kristofferson's music, you know. And it was life music. It was great stuff. But I remember when he came out with Border Lord, the album, and a bunch of my friends were just, he was a turncoat. He'd gotten religion, and I thought, well, I like his music anyway. I don't care, you know. And he wrote songs like Jesus Was a Capricorn, you know. He ate organic food, you know. It's like, whoa, blasphemy, you know. But he was writing what was coming out of his heart, and he had gifts from God. And I sat there with tears coming out of my eyes listening to his testimony, because I sensed the presence of God. Now, he didn't necessarily continue to live a perfect life, but you know, this week I had this thought about it. It isn't about perfect living, it's about perfect loving. Because perfect loving will overflow in to perfect living. Loving God and receiving His perfect love changes our lives. His perfect love and our perfect love for Him makes us more aware of when we've come short of the glory of God and we want to run back to Him. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. What's 2 minutes? But what will 2 minutes turn into? When Vicki and I are not agreeing, which is, you know, like once a year, maybe a little more. But what if we quit disagreeing and somebody who's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home stops and takes 2 minutes to think about fixing it rather than making it much, much worse? What if, what could I accomplish in 2 minutes? Now, she says that the house is her place and that I shouldn't get out of my anointing to take care of the house, but I am still supposed to be the spiritual leader of the house, so I can't really take that as an excuse to say we're in the house, it's her problem. But what would it change in 2 minutes? What if we started out to take 2 minutes before we just responded the way we were thinking? You wouldn't have to even spend 2 minutes. You just have to be determined. I'm going to wait a couple of minutes. In 15 seconds, you'll know what you're going to do. But 15 seconds doesn't sound like long. 2 minutes doesn't sound like long. But you can do a lot in 15 seconds. God can change everything in a moment. And so the whole idea of it is to just fire kids in school, the fire drill is stop, drop, and roll. How long does that take? Not very long. How long does it take to pitch a fit? You ever tried to pitch a fit for 2 whole minutes? Sometimes in school I can't get the kids. You know, their motors are just going, you know. And maybe it's because they spend so much time conversing on phones that when they get together, they want to hear each other's voices. I don't have any idea, but sometimes they're just going. So on a couple of occasions, I said, okay, everybody, just yell as loud as you want. Do whatever you want. Go, just go for it. Go for it. Go for it. And it just kind of wears out in a pretty big hurry. I said, now, no more for the rest of the class. They can't go for 2 minutes. You know? Watch the NFL, you know, and you got the fans up there, and at certain times, you know, they're pumping them up. Make noise, make noise, make noise. You know, when you got 80,000 people, you can get quite a few making noise for a whole time. But it takes a real dedicated person to spend the whole time yelling. Must be great for eye, ear, nose, and throat doctors in those areas, you know? Like, they're doing surgeries on little things on the throat all the time, I would think, you know? Just letting it rip, so. But this is what God testified. He has given eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God said this. And blessed are we when we believe it. There isn't life outside of Christ. Now, that may be an offense, but the Bible says it's an offense to those that are perishing. So, if they're offended, do you have 2 minutes so I can ask you why you're offended at that? Give me a 2-minute explanation of what's offensive about somebody that loves you enough to die for you. Take 2 minutes and tell me what good comes from any of these things that you think are so good. Tell me in 2 minutes what a blessing abortion is. Take 2 minutes and tell me about the benefits of homosexuality and AIDS. Can you give me 2 minutes on that? You know, I mean, it's like, I don't need to take 2 minutes. I can tell you in a minute. What is it? Well. Oh, I understand. You don't know. People have been so deceived, they don't even know what. You know, it's like the protest. So after the election, it's like, Caitlin is a psychoanalyst of college students. Actually, she works with the college students, okay? And it's like her dog is a therapy dog for them. I was crazy. I never needed a therapy dog. What have we created? You know? We've created a society of people that don't take a stand. Just blend in. Just don't blend into Christianity. Those people are crazy. But they seem happier. It's just a facade. It isn't real. I'll tell you what, I'll take my bubble any day. You won't, you know, I might get out of my bubble, but I run back. Because God is just so good. It's true. There's life in Him. And this is the Christmas season. It's not about making sure everybody says Christmas. It's about making sure everybody knows Christ. People can say, have a good holiday. I've got a new answer. You got 2 minutes? I don't want to offend you, but if I call it Christmas, is that going to be a problem for you? Well, yes, it might offend somebody, but does it really offend you? Well, I don't know. See? And have you ever wondered if it does offend you? Why does it offend you? The season's about people knowing Christ. It's about those who do know Christ just lovingly inserting Christ. You know, can I tell you what I love about this season? It lasts all year. He lasts forever. I just like Him. I think that took about 18 seconds to say. That's all that needs to be said. But man, if you can get a whole 2 minutes. See, life is in Christ. And those who have Him, if you go on to verse, I might have put down the wrong verse. It's 10 and 11 or 11 and 12, so maybe. Anyway, if you go on, it just says, those who have the Son have life, and if they don't have the Son, they don't have life. I found life in Jesus. One of Chris Christopherson's songs said, he's a poet, he's a prophet. He's a picker, he's a problem. He's a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, on his way back home. Never knowing if believing is a blessing or curse. Losing all he lost along the way. But the going up was worth the coming down. Chris Christopherson went up to the front and he received Christ. And I pray that it's just grown in his life. Because that's something that doesn't go away. A relationship doesn't go away. And that experience does not go away. That presence of God is always there, ready to be stirred up. It is. Now, people can push it aside. People can try to deny it. People can probably get rid of it. But you see, that song, he was given this testimony probably 20 years after he wrote the song. And I could tell while he was giving that testimony that it was coming back to life within him. Why in the world did my hand go up? Why in the world did I walk up with all those people? Why in the world was I weeping and overwhelmed at the presence of God? 2 minutes. 2 minutes to just move into the presence of God. 2 minutes to just to overwhelm that which is overwhelming you. 2 minutes is a random amount of time. Because it doesn't seem like much, but yet a lot can be done in 2 minutes. When I was in a naval officer training class, our dorm, our place where we stayed, was on fourth floor outside of this building. And our drill instructor said, you've got 60 seconds to get upstairs, get your stuff, and get back down here. First time I heard that, I said, four flights of stairs. We got about 25 yards to get to the building. I got 1 minute to get all the way upstairs, all the way back down, and all the way standing in line in the right way. Because I knew that if I didn't, he was going to hurt me. He was good at what he did. I was amazed the very first time to find out that not only did I do it in a minute, but I stood there for a little while looking around, wondering when the minute was up. And I guarantee you, he didn't give us extra time. That was my first revelation of how much you can do in a short period of time. And sometimes when it comes to the gospel, we get the idea that, you know, we should take about 8 months for something to sink in. That we shouldn't expect somebody to really have anything happen in 15 seconds. See, we got everything kind of mixed around. We should let it sink in instantly and work its way out over 8 months. We should believe that the Word of God is powerful, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and that in 5 seconds we can plant a seed that is working. And if we can get 2 minutes, we can change the world. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we're grateful. We're grateful that you're not limited by time. And that we really do have the time to focus on you, to receive from you, to be encouraged by you and encourage others through you. Lord, this is our first Sunday of the Christmas birth of Jesus season. And may you be bigger in our hearts and bigger in our lives so that it's you that gets your way every day in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.